2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is a special hour of KSL's Unrivaled. The Pac-12 Championship. All the angles. All the strategy. The biggest talk about the biggest game. On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Skiri. He is Mitch Harper to my right here. Scott Mitchell, of course, on a plane today to the Pac-12 Championship that kicks off tomorrow. We'll already be an hour into tomorrow's Pac-12 Championship game. And, yes, it's a special hour. We're going to be talking a lot of Utes right here, and it's really uncomfortable for Mitch Harper, who's sitting to my right, who is our Cougar Sports Saturday host. He's also our BYU insider across all of the platforms that we have. Let me see what else. How else do I – I already asked your Mitchites, the people who are – Mitch Harper, do you say lovers? Is that appropriate?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair assessment. The lovers of Mitch Harper content, I would say. But no, I'm glad to be here, Alex, because this is a big night in terms of getting ready for a huge game in college football here in the state of Utah. These opportunities don't come very often, so I'm excited to be here with you tonight and talk all about it.
Even more so because we are here in Utah County tonight at the Warehouse. We come out, of course, periodically, and we would love for you to come down and get some awesome deals at the Warehouse. 86 East University Parkway in Orem. It's the old Toys R Us warehouse, and we are right there in the middle of it. You can come over here and fight Mitch about BYU topics and Utah topics, because the reality is Mitch is our BYU insider, but he might know more than pretty much anybody else about any other sports topic. So that's why we bring you here.
I would like to think I know a little bit more than maybe a guy like Paul Feinbaum. I think I know a little bit more. I bring more to the table than old Paul. I think I know a little bit more than that guy.
Scott calls him. He's now officially, what's his name? Paul Feinstein? Paul Feinboom? That was what we got last night. There was a Feinboom in there. There were all sorts of things. So we've got a lot to talk about. Let's kick off the show here right now talking about Utah in that Pac-12 championship. It's a 7:05 cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
Utah and Oregon. Biggest game, certainly, in recent memory for Utes fans. But here's the question, though, Mitch. Is this the most important game in the history of Utah football? And where does it land in that conversation about the most important game in the history of this Utah football team? Now, part of that is that, and if this is your biggest game, and certainly you can argue that it's at least a close second or third maybe, but we're talking about the thing that is kicking against you the most and possibly booting you out, and we'll get to some of the analytics on how the Utes do and do not make it into that college football playoff. First thing you got to do is beat Oregon. And so where does it land when it comes down to it? Where is this game on the list of important games in Utah history?
There's no question, Alex. This is the most important game in the history of Utah football. And the reason why is because a national championship potentially is on the line. You're talking about a appearance on the line in the college football playoffs. So that alone puts this game as the greatest game in terms of importance in Utah football history. You could bring up 2008 TCU when you're talking about an undefeated season and that undefeated TCU team as well, but this game has a lot more significance.
What about playing in Alabama in the Sugar Bowl or a Fiesta Bowl
match? Because Alabama didn't care to be there. They didn't want to be there at that Sugar Bowl. So to me, that's kind of got like a little bit of an asterisk in my opinion, because Alabama was half invested in that game.
You know what? I think it's kind of nice because for Alabama, they did put an asterisk on there. Paul Feinbaum got a couple of, made a couple calls, and wherever Utah is in those record books, they always have a little bit of an asterisk next to them. But what I mean, those finished off, those capped off undefeated seasons in the Mountain West, which is a very different deal. Playing in the Pac-12, going to the Pac-12 championship game. Here's why this game is so huge, too. And I'll tell you why this is a massive thing you got to do if you're Ute fans. I want to just give you a couple reasons to be nervous. One, this is not just the best team that Utah's played so far this year. It's by far the better team, the best team that they've played this year. I'm sorry, USC was pretty good, but they lost to them. But they aren't even nearly as good as that team. Or USC isn't nearly as good as this Oregon team was. So I think that this is going to be a tough go, tougher than you might be thinking. Because there are a lot of people who are going, all right, win by three touchdowns and move on. How much have we heard that in the last couple of days where people just go, they just assign Utah into that college football playoff discussion on Sunday morning, and that's a tough thing to do. Now, Kyle Whittingham does not overlook any team, and I know he'll be ready for it. But let me tell you why this is a really difficult deal. Somehow, the way that it's set up, Oregon loses this football game. They might not go, they might go to the Rose Bowl. They win this football game, they're going to the Rose Bowl. Utah loses this game, and let me tell you how forgettable a year where you go to the Alamo Bowl will suddenly get. And that's why winning this game is so important, because the free fall of where this team lands and how good it is in its history goes real far south, because this is the best team we've ever seen come out of Utah. And if they lose tomorrow night against Oregon, it's going to be a two-loss, very forgettable, South Division champs, yay, type of a team.
And suddenly you're talking about, if they don't get the job done, an unfinished business season. That's been the theme this year. Suddenly you think, why did Zach Moss and all these guys come back if they're not going to get the job done? I mean, would they even play in an Alamo Bowl if they got to that type of game? I mean, because this would be a colossal failure if they lost to a team like Oregon. And the thing is, I don't like how Oregon suddenly being disrespected. I think Oregon has quite a bunch of talents, particularly at the skill position. So Utah hasn't seen a team like Oregon, as you mentioned. I mean, or USC, they had their third string quarterback and they beat Utah, and because of those excellent wide receivers that they had. But I do
which
think
you won't see much. You won't see nearly as much of a course against Oregon tomorrow.
Well, I do think though Utah has made significant leaps forward since that USC game. And there's no question the
and
dominance.
Because of the USC game,
right?
I mean, that's what Kyle Whittingham's like signature is. It's like, oh, we lost that game. You will never. If they put Tim Tebow would be excited about the speech that was made after that game. You'll never see somebody work harder. You can see a plaque go up there from like Tyler Huntley outside of Rice-Eccles Stadium, because they've played inspired ball since then. But my thing is, with the way that it sits, and with Oregon, you said they've been disrespected. I think that we kind of knew that they had been faking it. The whole question was, are they going to be able to not trip up before the Pac-12 championship game? Because none of this conversation about Oklahoma would ever be happening if Utah beat a number 5 Oregon team, as they were number 4 in the college football playoff rankings. So there's that whole part. I knew, but I said it from the beginning. Justin Herbert, this amazing first-round quarterback we've been waiting to see, we have not seen him. We've seen some flashes of brilliance, but their biggest problem are the mistakes that he's made on offense. And if you're talking about a defense that's going to score on Oregon tomorrow and has a possibility of getting a pick six against a Justin Herbert, it's going to be this Utah team. I said it. They're going to force 2 turnovers, and one of them's going to go to the house. Guaranteed tomorrow, and that's before the game even gets going.
And who would have thought, too, Alex, because before the season, a lot of talk was made about Utah and Oregon potentially being in this setting, but who would have thought that Tyler Huntley would be the better quarterback, the more discussed quarterback than Justin Herbert? Because Tyler Huntley now named a Manning Award finalist. He's in the conversation potentially for the Heisman. I know Utah's putting that out there. I think that might still be a little bit of a reach.
What's
but
the Manning Award? Is it like a
quarterback award?
Is it a quarterback award?
Yes.
Or is it like a he got a lot of great charity going in his community?
Might be the best for commercials. I mean,
okay.
He's got that voice for commercials, I guess.
He does, yes. Okay. Well, so it is weird, because you're going to have bad weather tomorrow. That's a guarantee. Everybody says 100% chance of rain, 20-mile-an-hour winds. Where does that add up? And this is something that I asked Scott Mitchell today, and we'll hear some of that conversation that we had a little bit earlier in just a little while. But I think that weather tomorrow is going to be a problem. Does it benefit Utah, or Oregon tomorrow in the style of play that each team has?
I think it benefits Utah because Utah is a physical team in the trenches. And to me, when you talk about bad weather, that always benefits the team that's got more physicality up front. And that's definitely Utah compared to the Ducks, who I still have questions about in regards to how physical of a football team they are. I know Mario Cristobal's tried to make it seem like they're a new type of program in terms of that physicality, but I'm still skeptical when it comes to the Ducks in the trenches.
57500 is the text number. That's how you can join in the program this evening. We're hanging out live at the warehouse here in Orem, 86 East University Parkway. It's in the old Toys R Us building, and we're just planted smack dab on a couple of recliners here. When Scott's here, he's laying down. I mean, we have a full-on adjustable bed for him. We get the sheets out. We get a pillow. Everything's all set out for him. But we want you to come down, and I want those Mitchites. Oh, boy. Tom's putting the seat up for me. See, now I'm forced to relax. All right, I was on the edge of my seat, but now I'm going to relax here. So we want you to come down, 86 East University Parkway. And I, like I said, I want to see some of these Mitchites come out and high-five Mitch and give him a little bit of a hard time. And maybe ask him the same questions that some people have been asking us. What about this BYU football team that just fizzled out at the end of the year? I have some of those questions as well. First, we're going to get to Tom Curl. He's the owner of the warehouse. Tom, we say one major word when we come to your place of business, and that is
boom,
because it's always a big deal that you're going to get, and then you throw down the boom with it. What can we expect? If someone comes in tonight, what could they walk away with?
I'm going to do this in honor of Mitch and his ites.
The Mitch ites.
Thank you, Tom.
Push your right arm and touch that piece of furniture.
Oh, boy.
To
he's
your
making
right.
Now he's.
That's it.
He's making it. He's making Mitch relax now, too.
That is made by Klausner. Double reclining sofa with a console.
Right.
Two drink holders, place for your remotes. It's $1,099 at our competition.
Right.
We're going to extend the Mitchites. Anybody who comes in and mentions Mitch.
Or Alex.
Or Alex.
Why not?
Or KSL.
Or KSL. Okay.
Or
what are you going to get?
Or boom. $399.
$399 for this we're sitting in right now?
This is the leather one. That is the bonded, polished microfiber made
okay.
by Klausner.
Okay.
We'll talk about this one
later
today.
So but that's
$399. You can't buy a Klausner recliner, let alone a sofa with double recliners and a console.
Okay. All right.
Boom.
So boom. Come down, get the first deal right here. We've got many more to talk about right now. We're gonna come back. We've got more to go. 86 East University Parkway here in Orem. We're gonna come back. Talk a little bit more about this Utah run that they're making. We're going to hear from Tom. Well, we'll hear from Tom. But Scott Mitchell, who's on the road in Santa Clara, I had a conversation with him, see how he's feeling about the Utes matching up and how he did flying with the band over to Santa Clara today. So stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio here live at the warehouse in Orem.
Championship, a special hour on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, a Pac-12 special, Pac-12 Championship special as we roll out for you some of the possibilities of the Utes versus the Ducks tomorrow. 6 o'clock kickoff, of course. You'll be able to catch the game. And Scott Mitchell and Tom Hackett made their way today on the team planes. Mitch Harper, our BYU insider, but also sports knower extraordinaire. He's kind of a clairvoyant sports guy, and he saw Ron Rivera, our producer Dallin's team. He saw a demise. He saw like a cloud over him. He didn't know what it was. He couldn't put his finger on it at the moment, but Dallin's still rocking the lanyard here. Of the Carolina Panthers, as if that's going to help your dumb little
yeah,
team.
Yeah, Dallin's struggling with seeing his head coach going down this week. But I don't think Ute fans are going to be feeling down like Dallin is right now. Because
so you
I think
it's going to be a
good.
W? You think it's going to be a W?
I think Utah's going to roll. I think that Utah is just far and away the better team, and I think they got the inside track with the playoff. I think that Utah fans really should be feeling really good about their team right now because I think that take care of business and you're going to be in the playoff, and that's just – a crazy thought, Alex, to think 9 years into the Pac-12 and they're already in the mix to, or right there on the doorstep of winning a Pac-12 title. I would have never thought that. I thought they would be more like an Arizona or an Arizona State where it was decades upon decades of just kind of mediocrity, but Utah's there on the doorstep to win that first title.
I love that you said that. Like decades upon decades upon maybe a century of futility, wandering in the football deserts, never being able to
find yourself. I know that's what BYU fans wanted to see.
That's what I want to know, though. That's what I want to know. And I was going to save this for a minute later, but I want to ask you this. How does BYU fan feel about this? Because I know that I'm in the minority who just goes, hey, man, local team, let's see them do well. I genuinely am the guy who likes to see Utah do pretty well if they're not playing BYU generally. But I don't – but and this is a big deal. I think this is a massive deal to crack the Paul Feinbaum attitude, which is this team's never done nothing. They didn't win the 1951, 1954, and 1957 national championships like my Nebraska Cornhuskers did. They need to pay their dues. It's like, why are we doing this? I want them to crack that, you know, football glass ceiling, so to speak, just so people will shut up about whether or not there's a big enough market out here for football. Do you understand how crazy it is that we're like, man, Utah is – there's nothing out there. It's a market – I mean, it's Utah, man. Paul Feinbaum, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, I'll be in Oxford, Mississippi this weekend. I'll be in Oklahoma acting like it's some sort of, like, amazing mecca. I know football's a bigger deal out there. We get it. We know. But they don't have a perfect football team every year. And I just get – I get so grumpy about that whole attitude. But – how does BYU fan feel about Utah being where they're at?
You know, I think BYU fan is not feeling good about Utah getting into the playoff potentially, because I think it's just it's envy. You know, it's jealousy, because BYU, I think for so many years, thought BYU at some point was going to be in the power structure of college football, and they find themselves on the outside. And I think part of BYU fans look at it and go, maybe that would have been us had we got that, you know, that ticket to the Power Five. But I think that also on the flip side, I think if a lot of BYU fans would also look at it and say, maybe this can be the spark that ultimately motivates BYU to say, hey, we got to keep up in some regard. It can't let Utah completely blow by BYU, because they already have. I mean, right now, Utah completely has blown by BYU on the gridiron. And last night in basketball, they took down the Cougars as well. So BYU has got to, like, step up their game in some way, I think financially, and give more resources to the football program to try and keep up with Utah, because I don't think, as long as Whittingham's there, they're not slowing down at Utah. And now with USC keeping Clay Helton, Utah's going to be the best team in the South for years to come. Even after this year, when they lose all these seniors, Utah's the most consistent program. And that's why BYU, if you're looking at, you know, you're a BYU fan tonight, you're looking at it and going, BYU's got to step their game up. And maybe Utah's national success can inspire BYU for once to say, we got to give more resources than ever before.
Let me do sort of a Yogi situation, not Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network.
I was going to say, you're going to go zone out and
take my shirt off, do some yoga. I'm talking about, like, I am your spiritual guide right now, BYU fan. Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, you got to get this out of your head of Utah's success means that I'm a failure. Got to get it out of your head. You cannot look at other people and think to yourself, they're having success, and so I'm not a good person. Okay, so just tell yourself, I'm a good person. Okay, BYU fan, I'm a good person. I went 7-5 this year. I'm going to the Hawaii Bowl. It is better than the Idaho Potato Bowl. Like, tell yourself all these things that can, because Utah having success has, by the way, in a self-centered universe, it has nothing to do with you. I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with you. And I'm also sorry, I don't believe, Mitch, like, I don't think people look, it is, we all look at successful programs and go, oh, we want to be like that team. But being close to one that is having a lot of success does not mean that it's going to happen. I hope that Kalani Sitake, he already knows the recipe for success. The question is, can the talent level ever show up to where it needs to be? And I know this is a Pac-12 championship, wondering about Utah beating the Ducks tomorrow. But my real – I just wanted to – since we're down here in Utah County, we're doing the show, and you've got your Mitchites, and you guys get your feelings hurt pretty bad.
They do.
they do. We are a sensitive people. Don't measure yourself against Utah right now. That's not where you need to be. And you didn't need to look at Utah to go, is that what a good football team looks like? You've been there before, and you see every year other programs who do good things. It does not need to be something you stare at Utah about. So get over yourself and get over them. I mean, that's part of my thing. Basketball last night should be a real rack focus for you to go, I got a text today from my buddy from Seattle, right? Because I grew up in that area, but we were BYU roommates, okay? So he goes, I got to take a break from BYU sports. And I said, perfect. Hawaii Bowl's on December 24th, and we'll see you then, buddy. You know, like that was kind of it. But he goes, no, I mean for like a long time. I was like, what does a long time mean? Well, if they get in the tournament, I'll be around for that. Well, see you next football season, right? Like that's where we're at as
fall
fans.
Fall camp, they'll be back.
Yes,
they'll be
back. That's what we do as fans, and it can become an obsession. Don't let this one become an obsession for you. Utah fans, enjoy it because you never know when it's going to end up happening again. And I think that you'll beat Oregon. You're a better team than Oregon. The Pac-12 is stinksville right now overall as a conference. So take advantage of it. And that's what Kyle Whittingham is doing right now.
Yeah, and I think that I think Utah's success is kind of predicated on the maybe lack of success in the other programs in the Pac-12, and Utah is capitalizing, and I think that it's going to be a good night for Utah tomorrow. I don't see many scenarios that lay out for Oregon to come away with this win on Friday night.
We're also taking your scores. You can come in and give us an idea via text of the scores. 57500 is the text number. Tell us what you think that Utah-Oregon championship score will be. And, we've just got a ton of things we got to get to. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Tom from the warehouse here, 86 East University Parkway here in Orem, the old Toys R Us store. He's standing by. He's got the papers out, and you're going to have a deal here. If you need any piece of furniture in your house, you need to come down right here because the best deal on the planet is going to be right here. We've got some deals for you to take a listen to next. Stay with us. News, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
This is a special hour of KSL's Unrivaled. The Pac-12 Championship. All the angles. All the strategy. The biggest talk about the biggest game. On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell on the road tonight, of course, in Santa Clara, California, the place of the Pac-12 championship that will be kicked off tomorrow. This time tomorrow will be an hour and a half in to the Pac-12 championship, and bad weather. Also, they're anticipating the bad weather. They're anticipating a lot of things in this game tomorrow. But Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, also our the leader of the Mitchites, the people who are ardent fans of BYU sports, right here on KSLSports.com, also the host of KSL News Radio's Cougar Sports Saturday. So his reputation precedes him, but if you want to talk anything Pac-12, you want to talk anything about the Utes or the Jazz, we're also going to be doing that tonight. So, Mitch, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah,
this
having
evening.
A great time. It's been a good time.
I had a conversation with our own Scott Mitchell earlier today, and I wanted to just kind of shoehorn that in. This is Scott Mitchell. He was in his hotel room. They were waiting to go to dinner. This is not that long ago. He and Tom Hackett to go out on the town the night before the game. That's normally bad news, but not when Papa Scott's in charge. Scott's kind of the dad, the KSL Sports dad on the trips. So here's Scott Mitchell from Santa Clara. Scott, you guys made this trip last year, and there's a thing about, like, you know, this whole theme of, well, been there before, unfinished business, that kind of thing. But it does help to be like, oh, we did this flight last year. We had this, you know, going on this plane, doing this thing, and kind of anticipating already some of the things that were going. That has to be an advantage for the team this year.
I think there's no question it's an advantage. We actually made that comment on the airplane today, just like, hey, this is a familiar flight. We know where we're going. We know what's happening. And in players' minds, that really helps. It helps that you're you know what the stadium's like. You're more familiar with your routine. And I think it's something, you know, how much of an advantage? Is it like a touchdown? Is it 3 points? Is it a safety? I don't know, but it certainly is an advantage.
Walk us through crappy weather. Like, I mean, how that's going to be for a game like this tomorrow. Who's, like, what disadvantage is that for Utah versus an advantage for Utah? I don't know. But it's not supposed to be good weather. So let's say it's coming down and it's pretty windy there in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. Then what kind of a game does that turn into?
Well, it turns into a messy game. I mean, it's really hard. And it's, in some regards, kind of frustrating because you want to be able to utilize all the things that you've had access to during the season. And what makes it hard is that you can't throw the ball effectively. Or maybe you can. I don't know. Some people just don't get overly affected by rain, and the rain isn't as much of the problem as it is the wind, and the wind with the rain can really cause havoc. And so these teams are going to say, all right, if the weather's bad, we're going to stack everyone at the line of scrimmage and say, go ahead, try to beat us throwing the ball down the field. We're not going to let you run. And because running the football is about the only thing you can effectively do when it's like really, really, I mean, we're talking torrential rain.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the case tomorrow? I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, it looks like there's going to be some real rain here, but to how much, I really don't know. And so you hope that you can at least do something. And where Utah can move Tyler Huntley in the pocket, that will be, I think, more of an advantage to where Justin Herbert has to sit in the pocket to throw the ball. When you can move a guy, it opens up the run possibility. Some of the throws are a little bit easier to make on the run, or movement, I should say. And so I think the advantage could go to Utah, provided, you know, that they can, that Tyler Huntley can move, you know, because he has been a little bit
right.
injured, but he looks more healthy. So I think you can still throw the ball. You just have to kind of pick your spots and the way you do it.
Scott Mitchell, of course, host here on KSL's Unrivaled, and then he's on the road, though. I'm sorry, are we interrupting Tom's TV time in the background? What's going on?
I don't know. Is the TV on?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Get Hackett out of here, man. What is he watching, his precious soccer matches? Get him out of here with that.
We're watching a movie. Leave us alone.
Justin Herbert, I'll have it down here. I mean, imagine in the sports department today, we've had Pac-12 Network on. They had a replayed an interview they did with Coach Whittingham, and he didn't say much. Talked to Kirk Herbstreit.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know, shocker. And then Kirk Herbstreit was flowery about Utah. But more and more, this idea of what Utah has to do to get into the college football playoff feels more and more futile. I don't know how it's gotten that way, if it's just this like narrative, and if it's just a media narrative, and something that the college football playoff committee wouldn't actually care about what everybody is saying, instead of just watching what Utah is doing versus Oregon and Oklahoma's doing versus Baylor.
Yeah, I've kind of landed on, Utah can do all that, you know, they can just win. You win, and then you just kind of, there's nothing more you can do. This is a subjective decision that's made, and I couldn't tell you how they make the decision. I can tell you that it seems like the committee's always been very positive on Utah, and that they're a complete football team. And I think if that's the one thing, which is the same thing for Clemson. I mean, Clemson's schedule hasn't been all that great this year, but they've consistently won and won decisively. And so that's kind of been the case with Utah. Of course, they had the one loss to USC earlier on in the season. But if that holds true to form and Utah wins this game and maybe wins it decisively, I think it would be hard to keep them out of the playoffs. But I'm no dummy. I know, like I say it all the time, I know that Utah – or that college football and the decisions are made are predominantly about money. So if they don't feel Utah is a money game for them, then they'll probably not let them in.
Just so you know, there's a petition now online. Our intern Hunter pointed out to me. There's a petition online, we're assuming from a Utah fan, to get, as you put it, Paul Feinboom off of the air. So, hey, if anybody has their – if people here have their wishes, Paul Feinbaum's going to be out of the job, and about half of the people at ESPN.
And it'll be Paul, finally he's bombed out and gone.
Oh, geez.
That's the way I look at it.
Hey, look, not here in studio, but you had to throw in a dad joke anyway.
Of course, you know how that is. Look, I can't – I for someone to say something as, like, close-minded and – insensitive, and it's just a careless comment.
Those are political terms. Are you calling into the right show here?
Hey, look, let me just tell you, all right? This is the world we live in, political correctness. You got to be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
He owes us an apology, the whole entire state of Utah.
What we should have done is just gone full on, you know, the people in the state of Utah are offended. Get Governor Herbert on it and be like, I feel like that there was a lot of religious undertones there. And then you have to start backing up and backing it off and all that stuff. So, Scott Mitchell, host of KSL is Unrivaled. We hope you and Tom Hackett and Bill Riley have a fun time there in Santa Clara. And we'll be watching, of course, the game tomorrow, and safe travels. I'm sorry to keep you from your late dinner tonight there too, buddy.
you know, it is what it is. Hey, you know, job comes first.
It does. All right, man. We'll talk to you again.
All right, we'll see you.
There's Scott Mitchell joining us there at the end. So now they're out at dinner. And so there you go. He gets the breakdown. Some of the weather is going to take – it's going to be a factor. But it's interesting for him to say that too about like, hey, you know, in my career, there were just some guys who were really good in the rain. And there were guys who – and there were teams who were just awesome in the rain. And they practiced for it. And the reality is that we look at a game and we go, what a messy game. It's going to end up being a flip-flop. Usually still the better team ends up winning in those scenarios. So appreciate Scott joining us. We've got our MVPs coming up in just a minute here, so we'll take a break. But first we're going to talk to Tom Curl. He's the owner of The Warehouse here in Orem, 86 East University Parkway. And we talked about these adjustable beds. These are the most these are the most sought-after bed that everybody's trying to sleep on nowadays, the adjustable bed. And you've got deals. We talked about how great the deals are on the Queens, but tell us about the Kings here quickly.
I've got King deals that will blow you away. I've never done a King bed. This is a King bed with mattress, the entire package for $1,000, $999.
Wow.
How about the ultimate? And if you've been looking for the ultimate and you've been to – there's another company in our parking lot. I won't mention their name.
You guys have a lot of furniture
there's
stores
another
around here.
One right next to us. This is about a $14,000 package. This is the ultimate.
Right.
If you look this up, when you come down here, I can tell you, I can show you the brands. I can show you the deal. If you look it up on the internet, what's the big internet site that sells – like the most powerful internet sales site in the world?
Can we say it?
Sure.
Amazon, right?
You go to Amazon and you search this mattress. They're $2,700 mm-hmm. per side.
Mm.
You need two of them for a split king. The bases are $3,400 per side.
So if you're if somebody comes down now and they want to get the whole deal, what's
this
the deal going to be?
Is the whole deal $2,499.
Wow.
If you want the upgraded mattress that makes it a $14,000 package, I'm going to do the whole deal for $2,900. It's a once-in-a-lifetime. These deals will not last. We're going to honor this tonight.
Up in Salt Lake as well.
Salt
too,
Lake
right?
as well. Tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and I'm going to push it through Monday. But you have to mention Mitch or Mitchites, Alex or KSL.
Okay.
But you know what? I want Scott to succeed, so I'm going to let you mention Scott as well.
Okay. Say Scott Mitchell. You know what? He needed that little boost of confidence right there.
He did.
So here's what we'll do. We're going to take the break here. You come down. 86 East University Parkway is the store in Orem. 1967 South on 3rd West there in Salt Lake City. See, I was just right off the top of my head. Can't forget that address. I've been there too
Boom.
Many times.
Boom.
Boom. Coming right back. More to go right here from the warehouse.
The Pac-12 Championship, a special hour on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell on the road tonight for the Pac-12 Championship game in Santa Clara, California. So I've been able to woo Mitch Harper, our host of Cougar Sports Saturday, typically onto the airwaves this evening, which is perfect because we're down here in Utah County at the warehouse, 86 East University Parkway. And, as it was just put by a BYU fan, well, we broke Yoli. So that's what I want to know, Mitch, is Yoli broken? Is Yoli going to be out for an extended period of time?
You know, right now it's not clear as to how long he's going to be out. Mark Pope was asked about it last night, and he didn't even have he didn't even want to touch as far as what the actual injury was. I mean, initial thought was cramps, but it could have been an additional injury
so
as
weird.
Well. And just speaks to, again, BYU's luck. You know, when they think they got something great going with Yoli Childs rolling 29 points through about, 20 minutes of play, and then suddenly he goes down and the game changed for BYU and they lost to the Utes.
Yeah, same thing happened to me in high school, dude. I could have gone all the way, all right?
The luck thing. I love the luck thing. It's like, I don't know what that is because in my mind –
it's real, Alex. The luck thing is real.
Is it real? Because in my mind, it's like this. And I know
for
you
BYU
haven't
fans,
put
it's
on
real.
Your foil caps. No, that's what I'm saying is that I think that you know what that means? Is that there is a strength and conditioning problem. That's a lot of where this stuff
point.
Starts. When you don't get these guys – and look, I'm a picture of health.
We're live streaming right now.
So just log on. I'll give you some tips.
on how to get you, how to work yourself out and avoid some of those what we call Yoli injuries, okay? No, but I do think that there is something to that. When there's so many injuries, do we just go, man, Jeff Grimes going, I've never been a part of a program that's had these types of injuries. Well, then, you know what? Maybe something's going on a little bit deeper. Maybe there's a problem with some of the strength and conditioning program.
Well, there's definitely a problem with that. I think BYU's definitely got an issue with that strength and conditioning. I think, honestly, they probably need to make a change at the strength and conditioning.
Ooh,
because
I didn't even want to start this fight. Sorry.
Because they got all the injuries that they've had. I mean, at some point, you got to make some changes. It's insanity what they've been doing every single year. They've had 30-plus injuries the last 3 years. I think BYU, they got to reevaluate something. And Kalani's now got the time and length of stability to know that he has the chance to make that change if needed. But yeah, I mean, that's how it goes for BYU as of late.
Dude, Utah got so lucky that one year they went to the college football playoff. They had, like, no injuries, dude.
Yep.
They got so lucky.
Ute luck's a real thing, Alex. That's what I hear. Ute luck's a thing.
Ute luck. That's going to be, you know what?
But they won't need Ute luck tomorrow. They're not going to need Ute luck tomorrow.
I'm opening a casino, and guess what it's going to be called? There you go.
You
boom.
Luck.
Boom. It's going to be amazing. All right. Here's the deal. We got to get to our MVP, so let's roll it out here. This is where we get to some positive stuff on the program. If you will, please, Amber.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crown tonight's most valuable player. The unrivaled MVP.
Just want to remind you, too, coming up next hour, we have actual Oklahoma and Baylor fan phone calls in those local markets for where they think Utah should be, or Oklahoma, or Baylor. I've been accused in the past of having fake Southern phone calls before on our show. I don't have to fake these, because Southern people, and as a native Texan myself, I can tell you, they are crazy people, all right? And they will get on there about sports like you've never heard. They are going to get on like you've never heard. So be prepared for some of those Southern accents. Let's roll out here because we have short time. Mitch, you saw the same story I did about this. Look, rivalries can be bitter. They can be mean. We saw it last night up at the Huntsman Center. There was a little bit of some nastiness back and forth. No thrown punches, though. You were there in person. Was there anything else other than some of the nasty kind of back and forth that looked like some jawing back and forth? Nothing extracurricular,
no,
though, right?
It was just what you said. It was just some jawing back and forth. It was just an emotional game, but nothing more than the jawing.
Healthy jawing in the game. So, but Georgia State and Georgia Southern are two programs that don't like each other, really. But there is an amazing way that fans have been able to help Georgia State's coach. And that is that Georgia State's coach, Sean Elliott, has his 76-year-old parents, Charles and Barbara Elliott, ran into a problem. They were unable to find an Uber back to their hotel following the game. They were stranded outside the stadium. Georgia Southern students from the Delta Phi Epsilon sorority, Katie Urey and Anna Messick, showed up, and they saved the day. Would you give a ride to a Ute if you're a BYU fan?
Absolutely. I'd fire up the Lyft app and send them on their way. I'd take care of them. I'd get them squared away. I'm a good person. I want to take care of them.
Tap them on the shoulders and go, don't do anything to screw up my rating.
Even though they're the lucky ones,
don't do anything.
Take care of them.
I've got a 4.96. I'm Mitch Harper, baby. Don't mess with my rating. If you throw up in that Uber,
you know I love my ratings.
You know I love my ratings. Taking the break, we'll come back. We've got those Southern calls. We've even got some Jazz talk to go through. Speaking of depressed, stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Normally, Scott is on the road doing the Pac-12 championship game tomorrow. Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, and the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. When was the last time we got hosted at Cougar Sports Saturday? Back 2011? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's been a while. It was the Utah State game, so it's been a long time. But we'll be back December 14th. We'll be back getting ready for
You know, back in my day when I hosted Cougar Sports Saturday, we didn't get more than a week and a half off.
Yeah, you had a run there.
I don't know what the deal was.
You were getting late night kick after late night kick.
Man, I was like, hey, man, when are you guys back on the air? You're like, December 14th. I was like, what? This is crazy. We've got something to get through here. We've got, speaking of being depressed, we have some BYU fans in the house.
And we were just, you know, what happens is just like my buddy who I was a roommate with at BYU, he texted me today. We've gone into our respective professions, and yet we revert back to being the grumpy fan the next day. I get a text from him this morning at 6 a.m., and it's like, what's our problem? You know, and I start going, some things never change, right? And that's where a lot of people are right now. But we can all come together, Ute fan and BYU fan, to hate on the Utah Jazz. So let's kick things off here with our Jazz Notes feature right here at 8:05. Let's do it. Now, let's do the 8:05 cut then. Let's do the 8:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
So, we go with distractions, right? Oh, my gosh. I just realized something.
Yes. Yes, that's right, Alex.
I looked to my
that's
right.
That's why I was like, I was getting ready for this show. I was so excited to talk about this one.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, let's didn't talk. Even think about this.
That's right, Alex.
I look to my right, and I see, normally I would say, my homie Nate. Like you do on the Regulators song, but instead I've got the two biggest LeBron lovers on the planet in KSL Sports' department, Mitch Harper and Dallin Graff, who are like our resident Laker fans, I guess, with Matt Biamonte. Gosh, I don't even know why I did this. Well, then explain.
Feels like a Taco Thursday now here.
Get out of here.
Taco Thursday.
We do have the Polo Loco over here. We could get going, all right? But here's what I was going to say. First, I want to play some audio, and this is of the Jazz broadcast team. This is Craig Bowlerjack and Matt Harpering going full old guy, get off my lawn from these two guys when the Jazz were getting beat up. Let's take a listen to what their reaction was when LeBron came onto the court as basically the sixth man while he's on the bench. Take a listen to what it sounded like.
The game with Memphis. Inside Tony, blocked by Kuzma, got it back. Big fella turns in a crowd, continues to fight, blocked again.
Look at LeBron, he's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you.
What is going on here?
That's some disrespect right there.
That's some disrespect.
Please.
Bowler not having it. Harpering going, yeah. Harpering going full. He advanced two decades just now. Look at LeBron without shoes on. That sounds like my dad when he's like, you're not going to put shoes on to go out and do that? Like, so LeBron gives his shoes away to a fan. And I know that it's weird because there was the travel that was a super weird video that everybody saw as soon as they watched this game end. LeBron acts like he's carrying the rock into the end zone, doesn't get called. Everybody freaks out. I think we're missing the point on the freakout, Mitch, and that is that the Jazz are in a real bad spot because all this happened when they were down 25 at the end of the game. I just don't know. I'm not here to talk to you about the Lakers, so get your Lake show out of here, all right? But I do want to know what the problem is with the Jazz when you're 12-10 now, and it's not just the 12-10 record. It's the fact that you have been blown out game after game after game.
I think it's pretty simple, Alex. I think it's because they've played one of the toughest schedules in the league to this point. I mean, it's been kind of the recipe, I think, the last few years. It feels like the Jazz get this tough early season schedule, but then they turn it on in the back half. I mean, the Jazz have one of the easiest schedules remaining from here on out. So, I mean, I think this is going to turn around in a hurry. The Jazz just played a tough
schedule. I hate
that
that's been the argument in the last couple of years.
That's what it is, I think, right now, Alex. I mean, I think the Lakers will see it coming up. They got one of the toughest schedules this month in December. I think it just naturally happens. The Jazz will make up for it when they play the easier teams. It's just, I think it's just that simple. The NBA plays itself out. The Jazz will be a 52-win team at the end of the day.
As a Lakers apologist, and you saw the gif of LeBron running down the court with the ball in the hand, stiff-arming Bojan. I think that's how it went down, right? The, like, revisionist history on how bad the travel was.
It's a blatant travel.
It was so bad. And a carry. So it was like him carrying the ball, and then he's like, oh, I am walking with the ball in my hand.
It was a move to dare the refs to call a travel on him. Like, I'm LeBron. I can do what I want, basically.
And he did it, and they didn't call it. And then him being a third of the way onto the court after Kuzma made the block and they're running down the court. Is there a big market, small market kind of they don't respect the little guy and the big guy can do whatever he wants? Is that a real narrative that we saw last night happen? Because we certainly saw it on social media today.
I think it's more just like the superstars of the NBA get to run the league. I mean, they run it, and guys like LeBron get to do what they want to do. And I don't think the thing with taking off the shoes was classless. I mean, the guy just had a back-to-back and elevation. Like, he's tired. They took care of business. Like,
you read the Lakers press release, basically. That's what it is. Because LeBron did the same thing where he's like, oh, yeah. Well, take a listen. This is what LeBron said. He said the same dumb excuse about, I've just been messed up on travel. Take a listen to what LeBron said.
I think I was ready to pass the ball. And my brain just kind of didn't. I just had a malfunction.
I really had
a malfunction. So, you know, I feel bad for the refs on that one because, you know, they probably get right up on that one. That was pretty bad.
You feel bad for the refs on that? What about the guy on the third row who probably works at Adobe or something who was super mad about the call that wasn't made? I love how they highlighted a couple fans on the side court. And you could just see the conspiracy theories just churning about how these big markets can do whatever they want. I think the real problem in all this, though, for the Jazz is it's not going to get any easier. You don't just suddenly start. I mean, these haven't even been close games. And to go 1-4 on the road trip and then to come back and to get blown out by L.A., that is like such a low for Utah fans. And I'm telling you, there's a real problem with this idea of paying $33 million a year for Mike Conley. Jazz fans cannot stomach the fact that this guy is not producing. And I don't care how nice you are, because we love nice. We really, really love nice. Thanks for doing all your charity work. We appreciate it. Will you win a few basketball games for us along the way?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I remember when I got hired over the summer here on KSL, Alex, I mean, it was the summer of the Jazz. This was going to be the breakthrough season where the Jazz were going to show that they are in the power structure of the NBA, and it just feels like now it's a team that's just kind of going to be in the same position that they were the last couple of years, where they're probably a 4 or a 5, and it's got the same feel. But now there's just higher expectations, and they're not meeting those at all. I do think, again, the wins will start to pile up soon, but I just think that the way that Mike Conley is playing has definitely been a huge disappointment. If they didn't have Boyan, where would this team be without that guy? I mean, he's the only guy that every single night you know you're going to get a big performance from him, because Donovan's been – his shot selection hasn't been great. I think that the Jazz, they got a lot of questions they got to answer right now.
The floater, you hate the floater? Is that what's going on? The floater doesn't work? Okay, the floater's fine. See, now I hate the floater. And I hate that Mike Conley's like, I'm going to hang my hat on the floater. Because the floater does not work for anybody. It doesn't work for anybody. It's just terrible. It's been so bad to watch some of these games. The turnovers were just so bad. It's such a bad basketball game to watch.
It was surprising to see how that game played out last night, because you just thought Lakers back-to-back, the Jazz are going to get right.
They're going
to
show up.
Long winning streak over LeBron in Salt Lake, and the way that game played out, it was shocking. I mean, I was telling our remote tech Dallin here, I was just like, I was stunned how that game played out, because I thought there was no way that the Lakers were going to blow them out. I thought the Lakers would win, but still, I thought the Jazz were going to be like a classic LeBron in Salt Lake game, going down to the wire with a final shot on the line, but to get the blown out, that was a bit shocking.
You said that with such... I was a bit shocked by that.
It was shocking.
Interesting.
The Lakers, though, show that they are probably the best team in the league, though, right now.
So here's what I hate about the Lake show, too. The smiles on the sideline and the high-fiving each other. And, like, it just looked like it was so hard to watch. And, you know, when we're at broadcast house, what happens is it about, I don't know, 6 o'clock or so, you see a bunch of your weird friends start rolling across the street, and they're like, I've always had this Dwight Howard jersey. What? Oh, like they start acting like it's just so. And he had the purple tips on last night on his hair. It was classic. You might as well have Kim Kardashian shooting threes for the Lakers last night. It was just such an abomination. Walking around on the court with no shoes on, walking around the court with your basketball in your hand, forgetting you're playing. I mean, just must have been a long road trip. Do you know what I'm saying? No, but I do feel bad for those refs. Good guys. I'm like, that is so dumb. I can't believe he said he feels bad for those refs. You feel bad for the refs? Gosh darn it.
The Lakers are back now, Alex, and that's the problem.
Stop with the Lakers.
The Jazz are going to get better, though. I think this is going to be a short-term deal. They're going to get right very soon.
This is you sound like a I sound like a USC fan. You know, I think it's nice you came down to LA. What a fun time that you guys had down here. Wasn't it beautiful?
Scott anyway. Would be very proud of me right now.
Yeah.
He would be so proud.
I hate this. All right. We're here at the warehouse in Orem, Utah. 86 East University Parkway in Orem. And Tom Curl, who's the owner of the warehouse, there are deals always to be had at the warehouse. And the adjustable beds, I'm seeing them stacked up around here, and that means guess what? They are ready to move these things. You have all these deals going on with the adjustable bed from the very bottom level, just entry level for you.
Boom,
boom, boom,
boom.
All the way up the line to the most luxurious ones, you can get deals on the adjustable
beds. Let's real quickly just talk about if you want the very best queen, the queen set that's like a $9,000 deal, I'm going to do it for $14.99.
Normally, and we're talking about normally this is going to be.
The base, when you come down here, I can put you on the internet. The base is $4,400 for the base.
So they're walking out of here already half off of the base, basically, just for the whole setup.
The mattress is a 12-inch gel-infused memory foam base that is name brand. We're not talking made in Indonesia, filled with sand memory foam.
Bad
we're
stuff.
Talking name brand, expensive, nice, the entire thing for $14.99. Let's talk about a couple of other deals. You're sitting on one of the best deals I've ever had.
All right, what do we have here? Because we're in the power recliner on both sides. Got the console in the middle with the two drink holders.
This is $2,700 at the guys in Salt Lake. They're down the street.
Right. Up here, they're across
they're
the street.
Up the street.
Okay.
Whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
This is a deal that I got from a lost container. The container was lost in the freight yard. They found it 9 months later. They do an inventory, all the tags, the scans that
they
got to
do.
Stuff.
Yeah, sure.
They figure out what it is. I bought it through the insurance company because the people who were supposed to receive
they didn't want it anymore.
They're not going to take it.
Okay, so what's the deal on it?
Make the long story short, this is $2,700. It's Italian leather, power recline, power headrest.
Right, we did
recline.
Both on me, yeah.
It's got USBs. It's got cooled, you know those.
Oh, yeah, the little drink holders.
Those, you know those, what do you call them, water things that you put ice in and it lasts for 3 days? These
oh, yeah.
cup holders are that same material.
Yeah.
This has USBs in the console. This is incredible, $899.
$899 from $2,799.
And it's the best brand. If you come in, you'll know the brand.
Okay. All right. So come down. Get the deals. 86 East University Parkway in Orem or up at the Salt Lake store, of course, as well. The deals are many and plenty here at the warehouse. Tom Curl's the owner. Boom. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell normally with me, but he's on the road to Santa Clara, California this evening. We already spoke with him on the telephone talking about that Utah and Oregon matchup for tomorrow night at the Pac-12 championship game. It's an interesting thing there, too. We've got a couple of things that we've got in front of us. One, there are a lot of folks, and Mitch Harper, my cohort on KSLSports.com and also in the KSL Sports Department, which, by the way, unbeatable department in KSL, I feel like. I mean, the news department's good.
I it's all right. It's not bad. But sports.
Traffic, pretty good. Weather, fine. But we have a dang good time in sports. And part of it is we all yell at each other about our feelings on sports.
We do have a good time. We have a lot. The conversations and the arguments we have are some of the
yes.
best in the bullpen.
And they're the ones that you have with your friends anyway. And yeah. so we kind of get through it. So 538, who kind of leads the way when it comes to metrics in all of sports, 538.com put together what the college football playoff is. Basically, you plug in any scenario on how these teams line up in the conference championship weekend that is ahead of us. And there is no spot, Mitch, no picking of where. And so imagine this. Imagine seeing it, clicking on Utah winning, clicking on Georgia winning, clicking on what's their names? Oh, yeah.
LSU.
Sorry, not Georgia winning. LSU winning, mm-hmm. Utah winning, and Oklahoma, and Oklahoma every time comes up with a higher percentage chance to get into that college football playoff. And it's been adjusted a little bit, I feel like. But, I mean, you're essentially talking about if Oklahoma wins big, not even just big, but just wins over Baylor. Because they're not asking for wins. They're asking for wins big. They're just saying if they win, according to 538, Oklahoma leapfrogs Utah in the college football playoff. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I don't necessarily think that the metrics necessarily bear it out. I don't care what your Paul Feinbooms of the world say. I do think that there is some truth to the fact that you cannot not be influenced by the fact that in the conversation for the college football playoff is Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Oklahoma. Which one of these is not like the other? If you throw in a Utah, it doesn't feel like it's like the others.
And then also, too, I mean, with leaving out Utah, it would create the least resistance and least outcries for change in the college football playoff. And you and Scott have talked about that in previous shows. But, I mean, I think that that's one of the things here that's in play. And it's interesting. You look at this 538 model, which, let's face it, 538 has had a checkered history in regards to
making
forecasting politics
right.
and things like that. But their college football playoff predictor has been pretty good over the years. And right now – they have Clemson with a 93% chance of making the playoff, Ohio State with an 84% chance, LSU at 63%, and Oklahoma 50% over Utah's 34%. They don't really have that great odds for the Utes to make the playoff. And if you have Oklahoma defeat Baylor, their chances go to 79%, and the Utes drops down to 29%. And the odds for Utah to get into the playoff are not great, at least according to 538.
Pretty low, and so you're seeing this kind of 60. So they have Oklahoma at a 66% shot to make it over Utah. And so you're talking about these low probabilities. It feels weird. It feels really weird. I know, but it is fun to play with, because then when you start going, now what if Clemson loses? What do they have? Oh, do this. Do kind of everything. I want to hear what, and again, these are fun to do. Clear it all out. I want to see what happens if Bronco defeats Clemson, what happens, and just everything else plays out normally.
If Bronco and the Hoos of Virginia defeat Clemson, Clemson would have a 20% chance of making the playoffs.
So they'd have a further. See, and this is my argument. Jeremiah Jensen from TV says, no, they're in.
No, I'm with you.
I don't think they're in.
I would be shocked if they get in if they lost to Virginia, because Clemson has beat no one. They have the worst resume, I think, of all of them. The only thing that they got going for them is that they have a zero
out.
In the loss column.
Right.
That's it.
And they blow everybody out, and so they go, look at the massive, impressive wins you've had. Okay, so that's interesting. But I want to go to where kind of people feel in the area, in Oklahoma, what are they feeling like? These are actual phone calls that have happened to, and I know when I say these are actual phone calls, typically you'll think that you hear me saying that it's a real phone call, and it's not. These are legitimately real phone calls that have come in from people across the state of Oklahoma or down in Baylor country. So let's first take a listen right here to this piece. This is the Monsters of the Midday in Oklahoma City talking about Utah possibly getting in over Oklahoma or vice versa.
I think the margin between the two teams is close. I don't know how you could have an opinion that one is way more deserving than the other to be in there.
I kind of do.
It's close,
though, right?
You do. I'm like way more than the other. I mean, like
I don't know
no,
about
no
way.
Brainer.
I don't know about way. I don't know about that. But
yeah,
I mean, think about this. Let me ask you. Let me ask this question. Give me a better win right now than what Oklahoma had against Baylor.
For Utah?
No, anywhere in college football.
Oh, LSU at Alabama.
Okay, I mean Alabama's now down to 12.
Fair enough, but they were better than with Tua. They were
okay.
Better.
Okay, so point. Okay, I'll give you that one. Who else on the road? What's it?
Better
what's it?
Road win?
Yeah.
Oh boy, these Southern guys, man.
I would also argue LSU at Texas, even though Texas is 7-5, but at that point in time, and they stretched themselves going out in the non-conference, like
why are
Oklahoma.
You gonna, so what they've just done by this logic was. Toughest place in all of America to play a football game this year, Waco, Texas. Come on.
And they were down 25. They had to mount a comeback to beat Baylor.
Stop it. There's no way. Okay, how about this one? The next one I wanted to listen to. Oh, we're out of time on that. We'll come back and maybe listen to one or two more of these. because I want to hear a couple of them. But we've got stuff to talk about more, so stay with us. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Tom's going to roll out some more deals. We're here at the warehouse in Orem, 86 East University Parkway. News, traffic, and weather right now at the bottom. We'll come back. Let's talk about that BYU-Utah basketball game from last night as well. I mean, heck, we got Mitch Harper in the house. We might as well talk about it. We've got disgruntled BYU fans standing by as well. So that's how they say it in the South. Disgruntled. Taking the break here. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, who's normally with me on the program, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah Utes quarterback. He, of course, does the analyst job on the radio for the Utes broadcast. Tom Hackett, who is our KSLSports.com cohort as well, he is he's also down at the Pac-12 championship game. And this is a big deal, obviously. And I stand by what I said before. I like that the Utes are having the success that they are. I'm not saying that with any gritting teeth or anything. I want them to go as far as they can. I think it's good for the state. I think it's good for, you know, that visibility. I think it's important, and I think it's fun. I mean, the reality is yeah, maybe it's a team you didn't cheer for, but this should be one of those times where you go, we're watching something pretty cool happen, you know, if you're them. So Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Follow his byline at KSLSports.com. You can jam with us on that. Mitch, a couple segments left on the evening here, and I want to go back to the Utah-BYU rivalry, the basketball game last night. Of course, nowhere near the level of importance of the football game in rivalry status. And you play a college football or a college basketball game in early December, it's hard to get people that excited anyway, but this was still a game that, you know, we walked in here, and if we start talking to people about BYU, guess what happens? They start going, how on earth did they lose that game last night against Utah up there at the Huntsman Center? So how did it happen?
Well, it shows, too, last night that the emotion, despite these teams not being in the same conference, there's still a lot of energy and excitement and emotion between the two programs when they play. But, you know, BYU struggled. When they lost Yoli Childs to an injury, still undisclosed by Mark Pope and the staff.
So could it be more than the cramps then? I mean, could it be?
I think it could be. I think it could be. Because, I mean, the way that Mark Pope discussed it, how he just was very hesitant to even talk about it. So I feel like there's something more there than just calf cramps. So we'll get some more insight. BYU is going to play on Saturday against UNLV at the Vivint Smart Home Arena. But, you know, BYU struggled to contain Timmy Allen and Rylan Jones. Rylan Jones, a local in-state kid, true freshman out of Olympus High. I remember he was a recruit coming out as like an eighth grader, and he's tearing it up already for Utah.
He still looks like an eighth grader, Mitch.
He's going to be a star. He had 25 points, and BYU, even when they had TJ Haas in the game before he fouled out, they had no answer for Rylan Jones. He was fantastic. And BYU just kind of – it's a missed opportunity because I think Utah is still a team because how young they are. They're probably at best, you know, maybe an 18-win team. They're going to be competitive in the Pac-12, but their youth is going to be something where they're going to have some ups and downs, whereas BYU, they're so senior-laden. They got to win those type of games with how much experience they have on their roster. That was a missed opportunity on the heels of a great performance a week ago in Maui.
When the game was at 16 – and BYU ends up blowing that lead, and everybody saw kind of what happens after that, and they go to overtime. You go to overtime, and nobody thought to themselves, yeah, BYU could win this one, because it was like, all right, somebody's going to have to take over here. And there's nobody taking over. I know Jake Toulson tried his darndest, but after you start to, you know, I think a lot of people got frustrated with Colby Lee's bad fouls and showing up in the game. I know that, I mean, if you're TJ Haas, you cannot foul out in that game. And I know that you think, man, I got bad calls going one way or the other. The reality is that your team needs you more. You got to be better disciplined than that. The turnovers were a problem, especially late. And so I look and I go, okay, Yoli Childs came back and he had 29 points. He had 12 minutes left in the second half. He had 29 points, and then he didn't score another point the rest of the way. What's BYU's ceiling then for this team, knowing what we kind of know about them now, this kind of up and down 6-4 team who got third in the Maui Invitational and looked as inept in that last 10 minutes of basketball as we've seen them all year?
Well, if Yoli Childs is healthy, BYU could be a team that, you know, maybe is second place in the West Coast Conference, competing with Gonzaga. It's for the WCC and maybe in the conversation for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. Without him, if he's injured, BYU is a team that's going to be up and down. And that's just, we saw that in the first nine games without Yoli. They'll give you some great wins against a UCLA, a Virginia Tech, but they'll also give you some head-scratching performances against a Boise State where they can't knock down anything. So without Yoli, again, that injury, whatever that may be, is going to be something to monitor going forward for this team. But I think they're improved. I think BYU basketball is much more interesting than what they've been the last 3 or 4 years under Dave Rose. With Mark Pope, he's brought some new energy,
excitement. What's that mean, interesting? Like,
I just think it was Groundhog Day.
Just because of the coaching?
It was Groundhog Day. Every year, you knew what was going to happen. BYU was going to lose a few games to some teams they shouldn't. Last year, they didn't. But
they'll be 22-12.
They'll win a game against a number one Gonzaga when you go, where was that in early January? Why are you doing it now in March? You know, do it when the whole season. That I think BYU is going to be more of an entertaining team. They're going to be better defensively this year, but they're still going to be up and down. And I think there's some streaky guys on this team with TJ Haws and Jake Tolson. That's just what it's going to be for this squad.
I just wonder where, because again, and it stinks when they pile up on one on top of the other, when you have the, and this is what's hard to get. This is what's hard at the end of the football season too, because if you have a loss, and let's say in the years past, we've seen BYU who hasn't had a bowl game in some of these previous years, and you go, oh man, they end the year on a loss. At least with the Utah game last year, it was, man, that, oh man, they were so close to beating Utah. This one was, they were nowhere near beating San Diego State, it seemed like. And then you turn around and go, oh, and your basketball team is pretty middle of the road, you know, on a night that they're supposed to be winning, and they could have won that game. BYU fans are really, really, really struggling right now. And I know that it all goes back to the part where you're comparing yourself to Utah, and I think it's unhealthy.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think these struggles get amplified because Utah is right there on the doorstep for the college football playoff.
College football playoff, of course, we get ahead of ourselves with that because the Pac-12 championship is tomorrow night. Is there any way the Utes overlook the Ducks at all? I mean, you've talked about this Oregon team being better than people give them credit for, but I always saw it as the opposite this season.
Yeah, I don't see any way that they overlook Oregon. I just don't think that's in the makeup of Kyle Whittingham. He's always going to find some way to motivate his guys. I mean, he turned a fourth-string walk-on wide receiver from UCLA into this masterful motivation job against the Bruins a few weeks ago. They're going to find some way to be motivated. I mean, the Pac-12 title's right in front of them, for goodness sake. If that can't get you motivated, what's going to get you excited? So they're not going to overlook Oregon.
I also look to it and go, oh, in terms of bulletin board material, you think they haven't been playing the video of them this week on the plane of Paul Feinbaum?
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to be in Utah? I mean, just put that thing on repeat in the locker room. You're not doing your job if you're not the support staff of football, getting in these kids' ears going, no one respects us. We're going to make sure everybody knows who Utah is this weekend. And again, then flash back to BYU where 7-5, how does the season look? Where does the 7-5 season stack up for BYU when it comes to what the preseason expectations were for BYU?
I think it's fine. I think 7-5 was a good season for BYU. It's just the way that it played out, losing to Toledo and USF. Those were bad losses. Those were staffs that suddenly now they're out of jobs, USF and Toledo, some of those coaches there. But BYU at 7-5, they gave some of the best wins this program has seen in quite some time, knocking out USC, knocking out Tennessee, and Boise State. That there's been progress made. Now BYU's got to close out strong later this month in the Hawaii Bowl.
Now let's take the quick break here. We'll come back. We got our 2-minute drill next, which means we're going to wrap things up with a mishmash of stuff that interests us from across the world, of local, national, international. We'll even have a Bears Cowboys update for you there too, an NFC matchup that everybody's been looking forward to. Two teams who've been kind of struggling of late, especially those Cowboys. We've got more to go right here from the warehouse in Orem, 86 East University Park. You know what that chilled out music means? It means we're wrapping things up here from the warehouse in Orem, 86 East University Parkway. Parkway in Orem. Thanks for hanging out. Awesome deals at the warehouse, and Tom and his crew have been really, really cool, as usual. And so if you don't know where it is, it's the old Toys R Us building.
Yeah, I've been in this building a handful of times, you know, because I had I had babies down here, buddy. Not in this room.
I was gonna say in the your wife delivered in the Toys R Us. Truly, Toys R Us kids. Then
yeah. So look, come down. It's the one in Orm and awesome deals. And Tom will just come and talk to him. I mean, he's here most of the time. Just come and say, hey, what kind of a deal can I get on it? And he'll be like, I got you. He'll hook you up. All right. In the meantime, we fire up the music at the end of the show with our 2-minute drill. So Amber, without further ado, let's get the old music fired up for the 2-minute drill. We've got so much fun stuff to get to. Right off the bat, Utah fans acting irrational. I know it's a shocker. I love when you put anything on change.org. We've got a petition on change.org. You know what that means, right? We want to have something. We want change. Change you can believe in. Hope and change. The name of the the change.org petition is Let's Fire Paul Feinbaum, okay, for saying no one wants to see Utah. Now, right now it's got just a short list of signatures, okay? But amazing comments that you have to get into, by the way. Who is this fool to say he speaks for the whole country? This guy doesn't deserve the title of sports commentator. He obviously has never watched a Utah game this season. So I just love this idea of just getting a petition together. And by the way, Paul Feinbaum's not on the College Football Playoff Committee. And I don't think the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, Mitch, but I don't think the committee cares what Paul Feinbaum really thinks.
Yeah, Paul Feinbaum's opinion has no sway on what's going to happen with the College Football Playoff. So this, but the thing is, I'll give this petition some credit. Since you finished setting up what this petition was, an additional 12 people have signed up to get Paul Feinbaum out. So people are latching on to this thing.
It's so dumb.
I can't stand Paul Feinbaum, but Feinbaum.
That's the old Scott Mitchell drop. Can't stand that old Paul Feinbaum. See, but that Scott did it on purpose. It's like when your ex, it's like when your wife's like ex-boyfriend comes up, and then you go, Craig, right? And he goes, no, it's Greg. And you go, well, it's nice to see you.
He's convincing, though, Scott is. Like, you would not think he's,
He plays the, oh, shucks, me? Kind of a deal. He'd fit in perfect in the South. UNLV apparently has interest in Morgan Scali per reports. Morgan Scali, of course, the uber-successful defensive coordinator at the University of Utah. Currently, any shot that he goes to UNLV?
I don't think so at all. I think, you know, a name to keep an eye on in the Pac-12, though, for this UNLV job is going to be Graham Harrell, the offensive coordinator for the Trojans. He's been apparently interviewing for the UNLV job, so there could be some interest, and that would have some, obviously, impact. The one team that took down Utah this season was that offense.
Taking the run and shoot to UNLV?
That's a dead-end job. They haven't had a winner since John Robinson, and that's the only one.
Here's how I would – the easiest sell in the world for me, if you're because Vegas stinks, all right? I apologize to the people who are from Vegas. But I'm telling you right now, UNLV's going to be playing at not just an NFL venue. They're playing at the NFL venue of venues. So if you're going to be a head coach, you walk into a place, you can make $1 million a year. And by the way, swap weeks or swap days with the Vegas Raiders. Sign me up, dude. Live in Henderson, commute in on Tropicana. You can get in there, baby. Let's go. Come on. All right. Colin Kaepernick, that workout in November led to a deal for one of the receivers of the workout. I don't know if you know this.
Yes, the guy receiving the passes from Cap ends up getting a deal that's going to be on a practice squad for an NFL team, but Kaepernick still unsigned. No interest for Kaepernick, I don't believe.
So is that the no interest for Kaepernick because of the politics involved? Because the NFL has proved we do not care. We will sign up every form of felon we can. Just don't hit another guy with a helmet.
Yeah,
please.
It's his
don't
politics.
Gamble.
It's his politics. I mean, in the way that he sandbagged his opportunity in front of 25 NFL scouts in an NFL setting, and then he wanted to have his own terms, it was over. He's never going to be in the league. He had his one opportunity, and he gave it up for his own terms.
I'll say, though, in terms of those terms, the guy is getting an NFL paycheck regardless.
Oh, yeah. Why would he want to come to the NFL? He's got a great deal with Nike. They're going to put out his own shoes. He's making a ton of money. He honestly, there's no point for him to come back to the NFL.
You saw the video of James Harden's dunk, no dunk, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did see that.
What happened? So you have this dunk that goes in, and it happens to wrap around the rim so quickly and kind of hit the backboard. Refs don't call it not reviewable, but now the Rockets are filing a protest in their loss to the Spurs. This is a real bad deal. You talk about LeBron carrying the ball like a loaf of bread down the court versus the Jazz. That's one thing. Another is to take points away and to possibly affect the outcome of a game. Could you imagine the gamblers who lost money on this thing going nuts because a basket that was a clear dunk ends up being in real time not that clear, and so they take the points away?
Well, with this protest that the Rockets are going to file with the NBA, it might lead to a situation where the game, that time frame gets replayed before the two teams meet again. So it has happened before in the NBA. Back in 2008, there was a game where they got replayed between the Miami Heat. And so it has happened before. It's rare, but there's a possibility this thing could be replayed.
You know what I want? To see another game with James Harden in it.
That's what I want. I personally love me some James Harden.
Oh, my gosh. Of course you do.
I love that step back. I'm trying to make the squeaks right here.
I've got the squeaks going. Hold on.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
what about the one now where he does this thing where he kind of – the three-pointer but with the knee up now.
Yeah,
he does the three-pointer with the knee up. Get this guy out of here.
James Harden.
I don't want James Harden finishing if he gets 83 games this year and I have to watch that extra one, I'm out. I can't do it anymore. Mitch, did you have a fun time tonight?
Oh, I had a great time tonight, Alex. It's been so much fun here hanging out with you, man.
All right. We've had a great time. Next week, join Scott Mitchell. Tomorrow, it's going to be Matt Biamonte, and it's going to be Sam Farnsworth on KSL's Unrivaled. The Pac-12 championship game, we'll be following that very closely. You'll get all the coverage that you want on KSLSports.com. Follow Mitch on all the social platforms, also on KSLSports.com. Go read all the stories that are up there. Man, it's fun to be doing this kind of stuff. We appreciate you joining us in. For Tom in the warehouse here in Orem, boy, we got all these people. Mitchell's here. Mitch Harper's here. Dallin's here. Back at the shop. Amber, Hunter, Jeremy, did I get them all?
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.